Hey guys, this is Christiani Pitts.
Hey, I'm Crystalline Lloyd.
Hey, I'm Jordan Donica.
Hi friends, this is Lyric Danae and you're listening to the Call and Response Podcast.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Call and Response Podcast with Felicia Fitzpatrick. So the other day I started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine for the first time, and I am so obsessed, you guys. I finished the first two seasons in 4 days. And in one of the episodes, they feature a silent disco, which if you've never been to one, it is an event where you dance to the music, but while wearing headphones. So if you took them off, you'd be dancing to silence. I've been to one in my life, and it was literally one of the funnest nights of my life. And magically, Gold Star somehow knew this because they suggested a rooftop silent disco for me this week. And that is just the beginning of Gold Star. They provide theater, comedy shows, concerts, and so much more for you and your friends to enjoy. So download Gold Star and let's make some memories, y'all. I got some feedback recently that people were like, you say that you're hype and excited and thrilled every time. And then you mentioned that you realize that you're hyped and excited and thrilled every time. And you know what? I am. And I know it. Because, y'all, there are amazing artists out there. And I am so hyped, thrilled, and excited to talk in each and every one of them. Today is no exception. You may have seen her at Oscar at the Crown. You may see her in the regional premiere of The Bodyguard in White Plains coming up. I'm so excited because I stalked her on Instagram and I was like, hey, come be on my podcast. And she, for some reason, agreed. It is Lyric Danae, y'all. Give it up. Hi.
Hi. I'm so happy I'm here.
I'm happy you're here too because I'm in shambles, but we're going to have a great time.
Yes.
And like I was saying, you were in Oscar at the Crown, which is where I got to see you perform.
Yes.
Y'all, she hit it. She was in it. So we're going to dive into that. Also a Boston Celtics dancer, Alvin Ailey roots. So we got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
The first thing to kick things off, how did you get involved in performing arts?
Well, when I was 3 years old, my mom noticed that whenever she played music, I was bouncing around on my butt. In rhythm to the music.
Oh, that's impressive. On the butt in rhythm.
Yes.
I love it.
So she took me to my first dance class, and ever since then, I've just been hitting it hard.
Yes.
Grew up as a compy kid.
Mm-hmm.
Complete competition. I loved it. I think by like 6 or 7, I was already in like the junior division numbers, just like going at it,
mm-hmm.
pirouettes, everything. I loved the competition scene. It teaches you a lot in terms of like just dancing and performing because it's so very glitzy, glammy.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. And then I probably transitioned into more like ballet and concert dance when I was in middle school,
mm-hmm.
Which was interesting because with my body features, I'm very like petite, but I'm very muscular, very mm-hmm. lean, but I'm also bow-legged. All my bow-legged people.
Hey. I'm not bow-legged, but like I support.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was like that. And then I probably have more like turned in than I do turn out.
Oh,
so with that being said, all my teachers were kind of like, you need more ballet, you need more this.
Mm.
Which, who likes ballet? I mean, it's important. It's so important. But I mean, it's hard when you like, you just want to be a mover and you want to move.
Yeah.
It's very like strict in terms of like your positions and what you have to do.
Right.
So I got more focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I delve more into like the concert dance aspect,
yeah.
of like the modern and the contemporary.
Right.
And it was so beautiful because in competition you do lyrical.
Mm.
But this type of lyrical you do isn't like modern at all. Like
right.
some of the qualities are similar, like the sometimes like the softness or the sharpness and the storytelling.
Mm.
But the movement and the technique was so different. So I went to like my first summer intensive when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm leaving mom and dad.
Where'd you go? What intensive did you go
to? I went to Virginia School of the Arts.
Hey.
All my Virginia people. Hi. no, VSA's not around anymore.
Mm.
It ended up closing.
Wow.
Like some performing arts institutions, it didn't have enough money to sustain it. Not enough kids were coming. But that's kind of where I started. That's
yeah.
like, it was like my first summer camp. And then my teacher back home, her name was Tina. Miss Tina.
Shout out to Miss Tina.
She was the one that got me into it. And then
wow.
I was introduced to Lorraine Graves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know who that is. She's like a very prominent ballerina with Dance Theater of Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Governor's School. She kind of like saw me and took me under her wing. So I went to VSA. I did VSA for like 2 summers. Then I went to Alonzo King Lines for their summer program. And then I just learned more and more. Started
mm-hmm.
learning about Ailey.
Yes.
Ailey was something that I felt like I always knew about.
Mm-hmm.
Sinner Man.
Yeah.
From Revelations.
Yes. That's how I was introduced to it too.
Oh yeah. That stuck out to me. And mm-hmm. I remember after I saw it, I told my parents, I was like, I'm going to move to New York. I'm going to go to Ailey and I'm going to dance for them.
You just knew.
I did. And honestly, once I knew about the BFA program, I told my parents, I was like, I'm going to the BFA program.
Wow.
Which was interesting because growing up in Madison, Wisconsin, as like a small town girl, it's kind of like you have big dreams of like moving to a big city, but it's like you never know if they're going to come true. But for me, my parents were very like, if you work hard, that can happen. My parents weren't the type of people that just like gave me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much like, you do your research, you show us why you should have it. You work hard for things.
Right.
So I auditioned for Ailey also like my 7th grade and 8th grade summer. That was such a great experience. I got to meet Denise Jefferson before she passed.
Mm.
I got to meet Judith Jameson.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which was like incredible for me. Yeah. Because it's like, as that small town girl, like, you never know what's possible.
Do you have siblings?
I don't.
So you're an only child? Me too.
I was an only child, but I do have to say, my parents did raise my 3 cousins with me.
Mm-hmm.
So by blood, I'm an only child, but I always grew up with a full house, which was fun.
Yeah. As an only child, like being with your parents, and even if you had your cousins around, like, they're going to be like, hey, girl, this is how the real world works. They respect you as like a person and an adult and teach you the ways of the world.
Yes. But at the same time, it's hard being an only child.
Yes.
Because it's always that stereotype that like you're spoiled rotten. Your parents do give you all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like work hard for stuff. You're kind of just like given things. And it's not that at all.
Because
I feel like as only children, you miss out on like the opportunity to like have a sibling and like celebrate having a sibling.
Yeah. And you have to play board games by yourself, y'all. It's not easy out there.
It's not. It's really not.
But so they were they were supportive of you becoming a professional dancer and a professional artist.
100%.
I love it.
I always had their support, which was always really, really nice.
Because
I hear stories of like people who aren't supported, and I can't imagine like how difficult that is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very fortunate for my parents. They're great people.
Shout out.
Definitely like grew up with them as my parents, but also like as a friend and like
totally
supporters, which was nice.
Totally.
Because they kept it real.
Yeah, right. That's what you need. You're like, okay.
Yeah. You
that truth teller.
Definitely. So yeah.
So what were the other, were there any other companies, I guess, that you were really inspired by when you were growing up? Like or was it Ailey all the way?
It was Ailey all the way for me.
I love that. Yes.
It was all I wanted to do, and I just wanted to be an Ailey dancer. And once I did their summer program, got a scholarship, and came out to New York, it's not that that was my title, but, like, people saw that, like, that was what I wanted, and I felt like I became an Ailey dancer.
Yeah. Like, had you seen them perform live before you danced with them?
Never.
Never.
I saw, like, videos online.
Right.
I'd seen books. But no.
Dang.
And it's really funny because I remember my first Ailey audition, I had had one of my teachers prep me for it. And it's interesting how, like, when you go to Ailey, you truly learn the Horton technique because it's not very well known.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll never forget, like, I think it was, like, my 2nd or 3rd Ailey audition. I had went into it, and they had asked us to do the fortifications. It was Mr. Tracy Inman. If he's listening, he will hopefully remember this story. And I'll never forget, he had us do fortifications, like, 1 through 4, facing all different directions in the room. It was, like, 5 girls that had to do it. I didn't know them. I thought I did.
Oh, no.
I went out there and did them to the best of my ability, and I'll never forget him coming up to me and saying, what are you doing? He was very kind about it because he saw that I wanted to be there and that I really wanted to do it, and I was just doing what I thought was correct.
Yes.
And then, so, yeah, that was an interesting experience, but yeah.
But that's a great story, and I love that because – and maybe this is my Capricorn side coming out, but my ass wouldn't have gone out there if I didn't like, I would have been like, I'm too nervous. I don't know. Like, what? You just wanted it that bad.
I did, but it was also like, it was something I was passionate about to learn because I wanted to learn everything about the Horton technique because that's what Revelations is built on. And that's what I had seen from Ailey, like, was Revelations.
Yeah.
So for me, it was more like the research I had put into Ailey. Like, I knew that they were a Horton company.
Mm.
That was something that they were specialized in. Mm-hmm. Like, it was something Alvin Ailey held close to his heart.
Yeah.
So it was interesting for me because it was just, for me, it was more like, okay. Like, I figured in dance, everything, there's a variation on everything. And I feel like steps are created by different people, but they pull from somewhere else.
Mm.
And I feel like that's what's fun is being an artist. Like, that's where you get your inspiration from.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like people copy other people, but I feel like people are always inspired by other people. So a step may look similar to another choreographer's or like another person, but it's never the same.
Because
the intention is probably always different.
Yeah. So you were drawn to it, to immerse yourself in that world.
And I knew,
technique.
And for me, it was more like, okay, if I'm wrong, this is all the more reason I need to come to the summer program and learn.
Ooh, that is good. Y'all take notes.
Yeah.
Do you have your pens out? Yes. No, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So you had that was the one audition.
That was for the summer program, and that was when I was in a freshman in high school. So at this
high
point,
school.
I was already in. I had went to VSA,
right,
the boarding school,
okay,
for a year. My freshman year of high school, I had went there to get my training together so I could be in a professional concert dance company,
wow,
like Ailey.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had went, and it was probably in like March of that year. I think the year was 2010. Yeah, March 2010, I had went to the audition, and then shortly after that, I got my acceptance letter to the
mm-hmm.
summer program,
mm-hmm.
and I came to the summer program.
So were you scared being a small town girl going to boarding school for a year and then coming to the big city? Like, how did you feel?
Honestly, and I think this is because of my parents, I was sad to leave home, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I was super excited to, like, be immersed in more dance.
Right, right, okay.
And I feel like because I left home when I was 14, it's not that I don't have ties to places, but it's more like I'm able to leave my heart and my soul in each place I go.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way I have various homes.
Yeah.
But I don't feel tied to like being in one city, like I have to come back.
Yeah.
Like I feel like there's a piece of my heart in Virginia. Having lived in Boston as a Celtics dancer, there's a piece of my heart
yeah.
and like my soul in Boston. And now like I'm here in New York only to like see where I go from there.
Oh.
But I'm definitely grateful for my parents letting me leave home that early.
Sure.
Because I feel like, you know, when I talk to like my friends now after they leave high school, it gets harder for them to leave home because they're more rooted.
Totally.
And I can only imagine like how hard that is. But like I said, like my parents like made it so seamless by like, you know, my dad went with me to Virginia, but like my mom would visit. Like I constantly called her every day.
Aww.
Like my dad was just there too. So yeah, they were a huge part in like it being easy to leave home.
Right.
Yeah.
Making that seamless transition.
Yeah. Which is why now like I'm more like, oh, you want me to go here? All right, I'll pack my bags and go.
You're ready to do it. Oh, that's
I
so fascinating. You have
yeah.
the training.
Yeah.
And then what was that first summer like in New York? Like taking the subway, like all those little New York specific things.
Yeah. Okay, so that summer, I'm trying to think. My dad had came with me that summer.
Shout out to dad.
Yeah, my dad's a real one. He moved with me. He
right
left Wisconsin, moved with me to Virginia that
yeah.
first year. And then he worked for the school district in Virginia.
Oh, okay.
So he was able to come with me that summer. Because I was still very young.
Yeah,
I was
totally.
Still 14.
Totally.
I'm a summer baby. I'm a Leo. Shout out all my Leos.
Hey, Leos.
So, yeah. So I was still 14. And my parents were scared.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very much like, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like, have you seen King Kong?
Yes.
Queen of New York, here I am.
Hey,
like I'm ready to take the city.
Yeah.
That's kind of what
and
it felt
Darrow,
like.
Yeah.
I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
I just like I was so excited to be here and finally like be at the place where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Like, which was Ailey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that big glass building. They had just moved, I think, 2 years or like a year right to that new building on
55th. Wow.
Yeah. So it was like it was something for me to like be there. I was super excited and I loved my first summer here.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I was that kid that like in ballet I definitely hid in the back.
Because okay, ballet's not the
it wasn't my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And I knew what my limitations were and I knew what I struggled with. And for me I felt like I wanted to hide. But like in my Horton classes, it was more like here I am. Like
yes,
I was
I'm
so
ready
hungry
to learn.
I remember that first summer too, I bought the book that Anne Marie Forsyth, one of my mentors, she wrote a book on the Lester Horton technique. I had like bought that book and thought it was the coolest book to read
mm-hmm.
at 14.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, it's like a textbook for the Horton technique, but I thought it was the coolest book. I still have it
wow.
to this day. But yeah, I loved it. It was such a great summer.
Did you learn any part of Revelations that summer?
Not that summer.
Why not? Who do I need to talk to?
We ended up learning so much more.
Did you?
We learned so much more in terms of like ballet point and like choreography, performing, the
mm-hmm.
Horton technique.
Mm-hmm.
I think that summer I took jazz and a little West African too.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up learning some of Revelations my senior year of college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So listeners, Lyric did the BFA at Fordham program with Ailey.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
just to clue you in. But yeah. So
yes.
how was that experience?
It was great. It was interesting. I feel like college is an interesting time because it's like you still don't know who you are as a person and as a dancer.
You're learning, yeah.
So you're trying to learn. But I have to say, like, the people that are in that program, they are definitely superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like anyone doing a BFA program is a superhero because it's like taking on like a full load of dance classes and your academics. you want to do it, but there's definitely the moments where you're like, I don't know if I can do this.
Really? It's to balance tiring. It all.
Yeah, because it's like you have your curriculum and it's like, I feel like all artists strive for excellence, or they just strive to like just achieve and like learn the most and get the most from stuff. So I feel like we're mostly straight A students. Mm. And with that being said, you want to keep your dance grades up along with like your academic grades. And it's like, you know, any university, but especially Fordham, it was like, it was definitely hard.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was interesting because I went to LaGuardia. My classes had max up to like 25, 30 kids. Mm. But at Fordham, it was nice because it was like 15 kids in a class. Wow. That was max.
Yeah.
So I like went into like barely seeing my teacher, knowing my teacher, to like, wow, my professor is literally like right in front of me and here's my classmates. Like, right. I know all their names.
Right.
Which was a great experience. Dancing there was excellent because I felt like it was easier for me because I came from the BFA program.
Mm-hmm.
I came from the junior division program.
Oh, so at Ailey.
Yeah. So I felt like, not that I was a step ahead, but I kind of like knew who some of the teachers were. I had already had an intro to Horton. I had known a lot more Horton technique.
Right.
Yeah. So I felt prepared. But the program definitely like teaches you how to be an all day dancer.
Right. And the stamina for that.
Right.
Yeah.
And with that being said, it has made like my rehearsal processes for like Celtics and even Oscar at the Crown and now Bodyguard. It makes them easier because it's like now it's an 8-hour day where at like Ailey Fordham, you could be dancing from 8 a.m. all the way to 10 o'clock at night.
Lord. Wow.
Yeah. So it's just like you're more prepared for these days and you know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're like being catapulted into these rehearsals and you're just like dog tired. It's right. More like, okay, I did this during college. Now it's a little different because I'm getting a paycheck.
Mm.
So there's a different form of like me showing up as opposed to like me paying to learn. It's more like I need to show what I have.
Right.
So it definitely prepared me in that aspect.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those programs where like if you exceed in it, not saying people don't succeed, but I feel like when you make it through at the finish line, you can take on anything.
Yes.
You can definitely handle anything. That's for sure. Yeah.
And how was that transition? Like, so you did the summer program at Ailey.
Yes.
And then from LaGuardia to the BFA program and all that time in between, like, did you feel more comfortable in the city and more confident in the city as you lived here longer?
I did. It was one of those things where I lived on 59th Street, Columbus Circle.
Nice.
So LaGuardia was on 61st, and then the Fordham campus is right on 60th.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ailey's on 55th. So it was always close. During college, I lived at home.
Oh.
I didn't live in the dorms.
Okay.
With, you know, the way things were set up, I just didn't want an extra expense. But aside from that, I just felt like I would focus more if I was at home.
Mm.
Not saying like I'm a wild child or anything. I just felt like I would be more grounded being at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting for like orientation day at Fordham. They have like a night where you can like go see the Empire State Building. You can go see the Statue of Liberty. So like those things were interesting because I didn't partake in them because I felt like I had seen this before. Like, I would rather go do this with my time. So I didn't like immerse myself in the best ways into campus life. Mm. And I probably could have been a lot better about that because I felt, not that I felt like I knew everything about New York, but it was more like, I want to dance. I really don't need to see the Statue of Liberty.
Right. You had a different perspective. Right.
Yeah. So, so that was interesting. But everything was just kind of close for me. Mm-hmm. I never really went up to like the Bronx campus, the Rose Hill campus. So like going up there for graduation was definitely like, wow, this is beautiful.
Right.
Like, I've like, really been up there.
Down by Columbus Circle, but hey, what's up, y'all?
Yes. Yeah, literally. So it was like my parents were like, I remember graduation, my parents were like, where are we going? And I was like, I don't know. I've never been here before. Like if I have, it was probably in the nighttime for like a homecoming dance, but that was it. Like
that is so funny.
Yeah, because I just wanted to dance.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to dance. So yeah.
So then what was that first piece of revelations that you learned? Do you remember?
Well, here's the thing. Growing up and seeing it every year at City Center, it was kind of like you kind of pick up on things you already know. My senior year, we had something called the Ailey Fordham Student Performance Group.
Okay.
It's ran by Freddie Moore.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing a great job with that program, and he also runs the Ailey Student Performance Group.
Mm.
So basically, our senior year, we become a small company.
Mm-hmm.
And we travel to different schools or different like outreach programs to perform different Ailey repertory pieces for kids to see.
Gotcha.
And that's a great program too because it's like sometimes these kids don't have access to see dance
mm-hmm.
or don't know about dance.
Right, totally.
So it's like such an enriching program. But in that program, I learned Oh, what did we learn? We learned, wow, why am I going blank? Night Creature,
mm-hmm.
which is like a great piece. That was super fun. And then from Revelations, we did Daniel. I got to do Daniel, which yeah. was really fun. And I got to do the opening, I've Been Buked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really fun because I got that. To do the part that Hope Boykin and Megan Jack will do, which is the first person in the front.
Yes.
Which was really great.
Shout out to Hope Boykin. Yeah. She's a podcast alum.
Is she? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna meet her. Good. Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I mean, what an iconic, like, that must have been so exciting to be able to, like, do that material after you'd been
yeah
admiring it for so long.
Yeah, it was, because it was just, like I said, you've seen it so many times, but it's also just, there's something when you watch a dance and you learn it mm-hmm. opposed to like actually learning it, because I think sometimes as dancers we forget the detail that can go into and the intention that can go into making a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember for like Daniel, at first when you watch it, you're like, okay, it's a low grand plie, but it's more like I'm in this low grand plie because I'm suffering.
Yeah,
like you, when you yeah. start to like put the real story behind a movement, because right. I feel like as dancers sometimes we learn the choreography then we tell the story.
Interesting.
As opposed to with learning parts of Revelations, we learn the story along with the choreography, and Mr. Moore did like a really great job of wow. like incorporating that for us.
Yeah.
So it was like, wow.
Yeah,
because oftentimes, and I remember like in reading some books, they talk about how like the intention of Revelations is can often be lost. I forget which book I was reading. We read it in my Black Traditions class. It was basically, it talked about how like Revelations has changed over time.
Mm.
But it talked about how like when it was first choreographed, like the true suffering that came into it and the storytelling that came into it, because the people that were dancing it had actually suffered in that way before.
Right.
So it was very like, it takes you back to like learn more to be a dancer, as opposed to just the like history. Here I'm learning the steps and I'm executing the steps, right. there's your story. It's more right. like you're doing the story while you dance, like you have to be this character and
totally
like find something that you've suffered with to yeah. bring to the table,
and maintaining that history from when they first created the piece and like all yes. the generations, and then yes. bringing it down.
Yeah.
So then the transition to Boston Celtics dancer,
yeah,
how did that go? How did that happen?
Well, here's the thing. So I'm going to take it back. So when I was 17,
mm-hmm.
I was already graduated high school.
Okay.
I was looking to possibly audition before I went to college, because I was like, you know, if I can get a job before I go to college, I don't have to go to college.
Right, right, right.
So my mom took me. We woke up at 5 a.m. We went down to Chelsea Piers, and I wanted to audition for the Knicks.
Aha. Okay.
I was the first in line. Ooh. I don't remember who at the time had came up to me, but someone came up to me and they asked for your ID. So I don't even know, to be honest, if I had my state ID at that time.
Right.
I think I had like a high school ID from LaGuardia. So I'm pretty yeah. sure I like showed her that. And she was like, well, how old are you? And I was like, oh, I'm 17. And she was like, we appreciate you coming out, but we can't see you. You're not 18. And I was like, well, my mom's here. Like I had my mom wait over to the side because I didn't right. want to be embarrassed. Right.
Oh my God. So, like, yes.
Shout out to my mom for putting up with that. Because mind you, she woke up at 6 a.m. with me to go
right.
down there. Like
right.
she had waited. We waited in line for like 3-4 hours
oh
together because I just wanted to be there. So like I had always been interested in dancing for an NBA team, but okay. I didn't know if it would happen or if it was something that I'd do. And mm-hmm. when I was in college, it wasn't something I'd thought about. But when I graduated, I was already finished with Black Nativity at that point. And then I wasn't dancing with Ballet Hispanico's second company anymore. So it was just kind of like I didn't really have a job as a dancer.
Right.
So the Knicks had already passed, the Nets had already passed. And I kind of felt like I was at that point where I just needed to audition.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. I feel like as dancers and as artists in general, I feel like we all kind of get to that point where like we just throw ourselves into these auditions, just kind of hoping for a break.
Mm.
And speaking of that, like when I went to King Kong, like the opening act was like huge for me, because at that point when she does all the audition scenes and she gets cut, I started crying, because it was like, when you go to all these auditions and you don't hear anything or you are told no, it just gets to the point where you're just like overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I like looked up NBA auditions, because I was like, okay, this can be jazz and hip hop. Like I can learn something from these auditions.
Yeah.
I saw Celtics was having an audition in New York, and I was like, well, it's on a Wednesday morning at like 8 a.m. I was like, okay, like I put it down on my calendar. Comes the morning of, woke up literally like 30 minutes before the audition, showed up in like a little athletic outfit.
Hey.
Barely any makeup on, hair just crazy. Yeah. just showed up. And it was one of those things where, like, I learned a lot because everyone that was in that audition had, like, prepped for those things.
Right.
So they were in, like, the full-on, like, dance team, like, rhinestone outfits. Mm-hmm. Like, very beautiful. Like, they all had their, tights on. They all had their jazz shoes. And I was in sneakers. I was in, like, some leopard sneakers, right. Like, Air Maxes, I think. And, like, this little blue outfit. Just having fun. Mm-hmm. I had, like, the time of my life in that audition because... For me, it was just like, I have nothing to lose at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just auditioning. I'm here. What's the worst that can happen? I don't right. get a job.
The stakes were low.
All right. Yeah. Because it was like, if I don't get a job, okay. But I went to this audition. I learned, is this something I'm interested in? Like, there's so much to learn from, like, auditioning and just, like, putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marina Ortega, my boss, love her.
Hey.
She was at that audition with her twin sister, Mina Ortega. She pulled me aside. And she basically was like, you know, we really want you to come to the semifinals in Boston. So the semifinals in Boston, they basically were bringing us to Boston to audition with the veterans.
Right. Sure, sure, sure.
So she was like, we want to bring you in for mm-hmm. the next round of auditions. But she was like, here's the thing. Like, I need a different outfit. She's like, this is cute. This is athletic. But she was like, I need, like, the shimmer and the glam and an outfit like these girls have on. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, I need hair. I need, like, full makeup. I had given her my headshot and resume. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you can dance. But she was like, there's more in you.
Hmm.
And I didn't really know what that meant. Because for me, it was more like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, like, sure. I'm just here. Sure. So I ended up doing the semifinals. And it was such a great experience. We started the day at 8 a.m. Mm.
Sounds
so
early.
At 8 a.m. and we had just learned, like, two routines, and we mm-hmm. had drilled them all day, and then we got to do solos.
And you were like, hey.
Solo hey, round was interesting for me. I had a lot of fear, and
did
I had
you?
A lot of insecurities because I felt like mine was more concert dance.
Sure.
Than it was more dance team in the right. realm of what, like, Celtics was.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very intimidated during solo round mm-hmm. Because I just didn't know, like, if I was good enough or if my solo was good enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then the next round of auditions was, like, the next day, and that was, like, our final day. So we got to do the routines we had learned the day before. We did it in groups of two, and mm-hmm. then we did our solos, and mm-hmm. then they deliberated and picked the team.
Jeez, so quick.
It's really quick.
You know?
It's really quick, but I think in that moment it was nice because it was like, you're not waiting around to hear.
Right.
It's more like, all right, I'm either going to get this job or I'm not. And if I don't, I learned something. I got a trip to Boston.
Totally.
I got to see Boston. Never been there before. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the day passed. We ended up waiting. It was probably another 8-hour day.
Lord.
We ended up waiting, and I remember my number got called. And I remembered I was, like, super shocked.
Mm.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, you like, I was it. Very stunned, and it was, like, very interesting, because I remember my mom, when I told her, she was like, did you cry? Were you happy? And I was like, no, I think I just kind of went out there and was, like, smiling, like, here I am,
because right.
I didn't know how to
in.
Feel.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I had been cut so many times that I was just, like, down on myself, but it was more like, oh, wow, like, mm-hmm. I'm getting this opportunity, because I feel like sometimes there's politics in terms of, like, auditioning numerous times or, like, showing your face, mm-hmm. letting people get to know you.
That game,
so it was very
yeah.
interesting that, like, Marina had met me once.
Mm-hmm.
She'd met me in New York, and then this was the second time she had seen me, and, like, she was giving me an opportunity that I didn't know I could have.
Yeah.
And
too, well, speaking to the fear that you felt during that, the first couple rounds, like,
yeah.
there is a difference not only between, like, the technique of concert dance and dance team dance, but, like, culture.
Yes.
Like, you were saying, like, all the glam outfits. And
yes.
My only reference is the CMT show Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders Making the Team, which I watch from time to time.
Yes.
But it
yes.
is that, like, you see these people get there at 5 a.m.
Yes.
with the hairspray,
hair and makeup.
Hot glue
yes.
guns,
yes.
and all that stuff. And it's just,
yes.
it's completely different.
Yes.
So yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
It's like, it's so interesting. And it was even interesting getting ready, because I think I didn't really know what to wear for mm-hmm. my final audition. Mm-hmm. I, like, looked up pro dance team outfits, and
wow.
I just knew, I was like, okay, it's like $200 for, like, one outfit. And I was just like, I'm not going to get this outfit in enough time.
Mm.
So I, like, I remember I went to Forever 21.
We're DIYing.
I tried on swimsuit mm-hmm. tops.
Oh. Interesting.
I tried on swimsuit tops, and I remember the couple days before I left for Boston, I sat at home with those rhinestones and that hot glue gun, and I was like, this is it. And then I remember I like looked up different outfits on like the internet. I was like, dance team outfits or auditions, or I'd even like go on the Instagram. That's what I love about social media and like the internet. You can find so much to like do it yourself and not have to pay $200.
Exactly.
Because that swimsuit top, I think, costed me $10.
Yeah.
And I still wear it for auditions to this day. The rhinestones are still on it. But yeah.
So what was it like once you made the team? You're like, Mom, I don't know what just happened, but here I am. Like, what was it like immersing yourself in the team? Because I guess another, like, a follow-up question I have is, like, dance team is very much about, and I guess concert dances too, but, like, it is about the team.
Yes,
100%. Like, you're supporting each other on the dance team. Yes. What was that experience like?
Well, I feel like in college, I feel like I definitely looked out for myself. I feel like it was more about you look out for yourself. And I think, like, in concert dance sometimes, I felt like it was more, like, every man for himself.
Because you're, like, individual artists or whatever.
Right. Yeah, so you know you're going to, like, see people at auditions, but you don't really, like, tell, like, hey, there's the Ballet Hispanico audition or the Ailey audition, where I felt like more like in musical theater world, I feel like people are more like, hey, are you going to this call? And if you say no, they're like, well, here, it's this day and this time. So I felt like growing up in college, it was more like I was kind of looking out for myself. Like, I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be spotlighted. And it was more about, like, being in the front, being center, getting solos, being seen.
Right.
So learning the team aspect was different for me because it was, like, it didn't matter if I looked good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It mattered if the four girls in front of me in my line, if we're making columns, it mattered if they looked just as good as me.
Yeah.
So it came into play. It was more like, we're only as strong as our weakest player.
Right, right.
Which is, like, huge, and it's different because it's like when you go from a scene of like trying to like put yourself out there enough to just like be the star and be the only one that's seen, it's now completely different.
Right. You have to help, everyone has to help each other.
Yeah. So it came into like play where it was more like if you saw someone didn't have it, it wasn't, oh, they're not going to be in that section. It was more like you help them.
Mm-hmm.
We help each other. We're a team. We're 18 women. We're 18 sisters. Like, this is us. This is our team. We're the dream team. We have to make this happen.
Yeah.
So it was definitely like such a nurturing environment because we helped each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Marina definitely, she would drill us. Yeah. You know, if something didn't look great, let's do it again. Let's do it again. And she would tell us. She'd be like, you know, I've seen it cleaner from you guys. I know you can do better. And it wasn't in terms of like to knock us down, but it was more like you've set the bar for yourselves. Now you can go higher. Like, because she instilled in us that like we can be better than what we bring to the table.
Wow.
Because she always saw more in us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was such a nurturing environment for me.
Well,
which
that's
was
good.
Like,
that's good.
It helped me grow, but it also like it got it didn't get confusing, but like I forgot I had a boss. Because it was like she was our boss, but she was like our leader, but she was also somebody that like we embodied and wanted to be because she was just so fearless and she saw more in us that we just wanted to step up to the plate just to like not even impress her or like impress the Celtics fans, but like be there for ourselves and like impress ourselves.
What was that first performance like?
It was incredible. So we played for preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason wasn't as big of a deal, though.
Okay.
Because it was all 18 of us, but it was more like, this is our warm-up. We're just getting the hang of things.
Yeah.
So that's when we really get to, like, feel the energy. We really get to see, like, what it's like to be under the pressure of having players on the court. Because they don't necessarily move for you. So it was, like, it was not the anxiety, but it was more like, okay, these factors that I couldn't have in rehearsal are now here.
Right.
And I'm performing.
Right.
Like, let's see what curveballs are going to be thrown at me. So preseason was like a big deal, but it's not that big of a deal. But our opening night was phenomenal. Like, it was crazy. Like, the amount of energy you have in you. And, like, Boston sports fans, they are something
They're
else.
Intense, right? Yeah.
They support their teams. They root for their teams.
Yeah.
Like, I would, if I was a Knicks fan, I would not want to wear Knicks stuff in Boston.
Ooh, okay.
I wouldn't. Like, they support their teams. But, like, feeling that energy, even if they aren't there to, like, see us dance, like, having that energy, like, you feel it. Like, you feel it boil up from your feet into your body. And you just, like, feel the excitement.
Yeah.
We did a routine, To Humble by Kendrick Lamar. Be Humble.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That was, like, our first opening night routine. And we had rehearsed it for months. And it was, like, it was so beautiful
drilling
to, like, see the
it.
Progress from day one. Because day one, we were all, like, all right, I don't know if we're going to get this done.
Right.
Like, We were sweating. We were tired. And it was just like, it was beautiful to see how far it had came, because mm-hmm. it was just like the energy that we had like brought the performance.
Right.
But it was just like everything just came together so nicely.
Yeah. And taking it, taking in the energy. Yes. And especially if you have that team camaraderie.
Yes.
Like, we're doing this together.
And what's crazy from like concert dance is that your arena's 360.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, that's I'm going to turn around to the back, huff and puff, catch my breath. You turn around, there's 1,000 more people looking at you like, okay, perform for us now. So you go from smiling at the front half to looking at the back half, still smiling. You're not panting. And
that's
it's
a
like,
good point.
And it's crazy because it's like in concert dance, you do like, your routine is usually like 10, 15 minutes, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but these routines were literally a minute, 30 seconds. Fast as all get up,
mm-hmm.
and it's the fastest minute and 30 seconds of your life, but it's the most exhausting, but it's the most rewarding,
right? Because you're just like in it.
Yes.
Hitting it so hard.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like you don't remember how tired you were from practice the night before when you couldn't do these moves. You're like, I'm here, this is it, the energy is Ooh. In me, and I'm giving to the fans of Boston.
Yeah.
Like, I'm rooting for my team.
Yeah.
Because aside from like being a team of 18 women, it was like we're cheering for our team too, which
right.
is the Celtics players, you know, mm-hmm. because it's like we have to cheer them on and keep their energy up so we can continue past the regular season into playoffs
yeah.
and win a trophy, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So this is a question I've always had for a Black woman that's been on a professional dance team, like professional sports dance team. Hair. Like, did you wear your hair natural or did you have to straighten it? I don't know. I've always wondered.
Here's the thing. When I went in, Marina loved my hair.
Did she?
She loved my natural hair.
Okay.
The only catch was the only problems that I had was that when you first wash your hair as a curly haired girl, your first day curls are always the most perfect.
Mm-hmm,
they like always cute. Have the most moisture. They have like the best shape.
Yes,
it's like day
shape.
6 or 7 when you get the volume. That's what I like.
Mm. Mm.
I like it because I feel like I got such a beady head. I feel like I need more volume in my hair.
Interesting. Okay.
For the shape. So Marino's very accepting of my hair. She loved it. I was the only curly haired girl on the team.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was great. So
you stood out. That's that concert
and
dance
she
star.
She loved it. And it was like I felt valued. Because I didn't feel the pressure to straighten my hair.
Right.
I didn't feel the pressure to get a blowout or recurl my hair or change who I was. Like, I got to be who I was because growing up, I didn't like my curly hair. High school, I went through the phase of straightening it. I
Me
wanted
too.
Perms. I had a perm.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like when I got to New York and I saw that there was other women that had curly hair and I was okay with being with curly hair.
Too.
I could be that girl. So I started wearing my curly hair.
Yes, girl. I love that.
So
love
Marina
that.
Like valued my hair. And she let me wear it as it was.
That's
which
great.
Was like my natural curls. Our sponsor salon for Celtics is G2O. My stylist was Dylene.
Hey, Dylene.
She was such a sweetheart. She introduced me to the Diva Cut.
Uh-huh.
So I started getting my hair cut curly, and I shouldn't even say this. Through college, I would cut my own hair.
Ooh. No, we've all been there. At least I've been there. Yeah. Safe space.
But I definitely didn't do it the way Diva Curl does it. I definitely, when it was wet, chop, chop, chop. And then when it dried, oh my God, it's so short. Like, that was me. Oh my God, I can barely put it in a bun. Like, freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the Diva cuts, and then I ended up, like, getting my style, which was, like, I had, like, a little front bang.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, like, not teased, but it was short enough that, like, it was, like, a little afro kind of with a curly bang. But it was cute.
And
it was something
natural.
That, like, I didn't really have before.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, it was a style that, like, I loved and I admired having and I was proud to have.
Yeah.
Even if it was like day 6 or day 7, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
you
I loved it.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so,
so it
cool.
was great because it was just like, I got to be me. I got to wash my hair and I got to come to work.
Totally.
I didn't have to worry about straightening it.
Yeah.
Shout out to my teammates though. Cause they would come in there, they would straighten and they would like recurl, you know? And I felt for them because that was like something they had to incorporate
mm-hmm.
into their routine. But for me, it was just like I showed up, I got ready, I put the blow dryer in, shake, 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 and here we go.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was huge for me too because it was like I was kind of worried.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried. And I think that was something I had asked Marina. I had asked her like, do you want me to straighten my hair? And she's like, nope, I like your hair as it is. And I was like,
great.
Wow. Like that really meant a lot to me.
Yeah. I feel like not all like coaches, bosses would be that way.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't had any like bad luck mm-hmm. like auditioning for other teams. Like when I auditioned for like the Knicks and the Nets, like they let me wear my natural hair. Like I never felt pressured to like change my hair.
That's good. Yeah. What else do you feel like you learned about yourself during that time with the Celtics? As a dancer, as a woman, yeah.
I would say as a woman, I definitely had my breakthrough to understand my consciousness and my subconscious, which was huge for me because I didn't realize, like, what I was battling with in terms of, like, what was holding me back.
In terms of confidence or?
In terms of confidence, just who I was, who I wanted to be. I definitely felt like I broke the mold of trying to be something. For me, it was more like, this is my journey. This is my path. And I recognized that more. So I was able to come to terms with, I didn't get Ailey too. I wasn't at Ailey anymore. And for me, when I graduated, it wasn't that I felt defeated, but it was more like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I felt like because I had been labeled as such an Ailey dancer because of like my physique and my build and then I had trained there, for me it was more like, am I going to have an opportunity to be something else?
Right, that so identity.
So in Boston it was great because it was like, it was a fresh start because even though I brought that training with me, I wasn't the Ailey dancer. I was Lyric. Like I was Lyric from New York and I was here to join the team. So I definitely got to like understand like being more present because I felt at times as an artist you kind of make plans. I'm gonna do this, I want to be in a Broadway show, I want to make this concert dance company, buy this. You kind of like put time frames on yourself. For me it was more like I got rid of all those beliefs and for me it was more like I'm here presently. I'm going to enjoy today for what it is.
Yes.
Today I'm a Celtics dancer. Today I'm holding a pom-pom to cheer on my team. And then I'm going to do a hip-hop routine. I'm going to do a palms routine. Then I'm going to do a hot timeout. And I'm going to throw a t-shirt toss. And for me, it was like, that was my day. Like, that was how the day was. Tomorrow's a new day with practice. I'll take it as it comes tomorrow. So for me, it was the idea of understanding that, like, take today for what it is because tomorrow's not promised. You know, you don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. God forbid I get injured and can't be a Celtics dancer or I can't do bodyguard, but I'm here today. This is what I can bring to the table. So I learned a lot about being living presently, being presently. I learned a lot more compassion. I felt like in college, not that I was a selfish person, but it felt more like I definitely was looking out for myself. And I had more compassion towards my teammates, towards strangers. Towards my loved ones. I had more understanding of, like, my parents being parents.
Empathy for that.
Yeah, because I feel like once you hit 18, I feel like when your parents remind you of stuff, you're like, I know. And you, like, roll your eyes and you give them attitude, you know. But it was like I had more respect. Like, I had more respect when my dad would, like, call and ask me and be like, hey, did you eat today? It wasn't like, yeah, I ate, like, duh, like, I gotta eat. It was more like, yeah, I did eat. Like, thank you for asking. Like, if my mom asked me, like, hey, do you have this in your suitcase for the game? Or are you gonna leave an hour before? I was like, I didn't think about that. Like, I was gonna leave 20 minutes before, but thank you for reminding me. Like, I should leave within an hour. So I definitely, like, found a lot more compassion for my loved ones. And I just found more of what I like to do. Like, I found that I liked yoga. I found that I practiced yoga more. I delve into meditation. I found that I liked meditating. I found that I appreciated reading. I felt like in college, not that I didn't read, obviously I read in college, but it was more like, all right, I'm reading because I have to.
It's a chore versus a want.
I found that I liked reading books now. Like, I try to read a book a month now.
And you got to choreograph?
Yes, I got to choreograph a routine.
Yeah.
Which was great because, as you had mentioned before, the style of dance, you bring technique to it, but it's very different. So with that being said, I think for the dancing portion, I learned a lot. And as a person, I learned a lot. But I also learned that, like, my options aren't limited.
Interesting. Like, broadened your scope.
Because coming from, like, concert dance and thinking I was just going to be a concert dancer, it was more like, I can do anything. And I think, like, Marina taking the chance to, like, hire me as a Celtics dancer, it helped show me that, like, I can do anything I desire as long as I put myself out there to do it. Because at the end of the day, like, you have nothing to lose. I mean, the worst thing that's going to happen if you try something new is that you either don't like it or you find that you're not good at it. But the best part of not being good at something is that you continue to learn and grow. Because once you hit the peak of, like, being too good, you're not going to learn anymore. But I feel like as an artist, you can get good at things, but you're never going to be the best. There's always something to learn. There's always people to learn from, and there's always something to be seen and like told, you know?
Y'all, do you have your notebooks out for real? Like, she is spitting all this wisdom. No, that's so true.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you did a, I feel like another, like, going down another path or learning a new style was Oscar at the Crown.
Yes.
Which was, how would you even categorize Oscar at the Crown? In terms of dance, performance, genre. Can we? I don't know.
I feel like it's defined as a pop immersive musical.
Pop immersive musical.
But I don't feel like it's that at all.
Hmm.
I feel like it is the bridge of social media.
Okay.
Reality television.
Mm-hmm.
How it's intertwined, how it's influenced. I feel like immersive, you know, when you say immersive, for me, I feel like it tells someone, okay, I'm going to be involved in something. But I feel like Oscar the Crown can be defined more as a fairy tale from a 360 view.
Yeah.
Because when you say immersive, I feel like people like think that they're going to have to dance.
Oh, and like interact.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not that at all. It can be. Mm-hmm. You can come and just dance the whole time.
True.
But it was a show that everyone could see no matter where they stood.
Yeah.
And they could take something different from it no matter where they stood
totally.
In the room.
Totally.
Because there was so much to see whether you were up close or all the way in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's so many words to define it, but it can't be defined.
It's just undefinable.
It really is. It's just a show that needs to be seen.
Yes.
Like, that's all that you can say about it. Because it definitely, like, incorporates, and Mark, he loves reality television.
Yes, Mark, and we love you, if you're listening, but yes.
He loves reality television. He has no problem telling you that, but, like, all the research he did with reality television and all these factors and how they influence social media for what it is today,
mm-hmm.
Who would have ever thought to do that?
Yeah.
Like, I never watched the OC. I shouldn't say that, considering Julie.
Yeah,
Julie Cooper.
I know. I'm like, yo, the OC, shout out. Yeah.
But, like, the knowledge that he brings mm-hmm. from, like, the OC with yeah. Julie Cooper.
Like, the dramaturgy.
Twitter.
Like, yeah.
I don't have a Twitter account, but, like, to know that Twitter was founded on the same day as certain things that happened in the OC, I was like, wow.
Right. All the connections.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. There were so many elements of, like, there. It's about Oscar Wilde, but then,
yes.
like, yeah, Julie. There were all of these different things. And it was, like, I don't know how y'all... I could barely keep track of it as an audience member. And I mean that in the best way, because it was so much going on. I was just like taking it all in, you know?
Yep.
What was the first rehearsal like? Because that... Also, y'all, listeners, let me make it very clear. The dancing, like, is out of control good. Like, I do not know how y'all have the stamina. Well, I do not, because I know you're Celtics dancer. But, like, I was tired just watching y'all. Because y'all were doing everything the whole time.
Yes.
Like, what was the first rehearsal like?
The first rehearsal was our read-through. So we got our scripts.
Okay.
We did our read-through.
Yep.
Our read-through was interesting mm-hmm. because it was like we read the whole thing from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting to just like read. Because not being in like the actual performance space, not having costumes, not really like knowing much of any... Excuse me. Not really knowing much of anything. It was kind of like, what are we doing?
Like, right, not when it's for just nothing. The text.
I was very confused our first read through.
Sure, that's
like
fair.
I read it and I was like, okay, but I was very much like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Our first dance rehearsal, we learned, for those of you that have seen the show, we learned Amethyst and Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
That very first opening number, it was great.
Yeah,
and it was like because at the audition we had kind of learned part of that piece already. We kind of knew we were in for something fast. But what was funny about it was, we started dancing to slower tracks.
Oh.
So the choreographer, Andrew Barrett Cox, we love him too.
Hey.
He slowed it down for us.
To pace yourselves.
To get the steps.
Right,
his
as you're learning it.
Choreography is very intricate. Like, very intricate from the hands to the head placement. It's very intricate.
And specific.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was funny because even slowed down, it was still fast as all get up. And I remember he would, like, slowly... speed it up, and
right.
we were like, what is this? Like, oh my God. Like, we were scared. I was scared. I was like, by the end of this month, are we going to be able to do this fast?
Yeah.
And then I think by like the third week, it was just back of our hand. Like, we were doing it fast. It might not have been clean. There might have been like bumps in the road, but it was just like, okay, this is doable. Mm-hmm. Like, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first rehearsal process was great because right from the get up, from day one, we had already started getting along.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of, some of us, I think some of us had known each other before, but not all of us had known each other. But it became a family.
Mm-hmm.
We all loved each other. We all created special relationships, you know, and we were just, we were a family. And it was very interesting because I think even by like the final week of the show, we all realized we were going to miss each other.
Right.
Like when we had like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays off before going into like our brush up rehearsals, like we would come into our brush up rehearsals and be like, I missed you.
Yeah.
How were you? How was your week? Like, right. I saw you on Instagram, but I missed
Let's
you.
Check
like
in.
We missed each other. So it was just a great atmosphere because it was just, it was a new show.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all there for the first time. And it was like, this is it. Like, it was the first beginnings for all of us as opposed to like being thrown into something that was already done.
Yeah.
It was more like, here's our steps. Can you do it? Okay, let's work it. Let's work together. So it was just such a great working together process.
Yeah. Especially coming from, I feel like, the Celtics. You had that team camaraderie vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things of, like, y'all all working together to make this incredible experience.
Yes.
But it definitely is one of those shows. I can imagine reading the script because it is one of those things. Of, like, you just have to experience it, not read it.
Yes.
You know?
It's one of those things where, like, when you know what the show is fully about and trying to tell, you're like, okay.
Mm.
But it's like interesting because I genuinely don't like telling people what the show is supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like when they come back, like, for instance, my dad came like 4 or 5 times.
Shout out to dad.
Okay,
yes.
Dad came a lot. But from the first show, I think by the third show, he had finally asked me, he was like, I get what I get from it, but what is it like depicting? Like, what is the story for you guys? And when I told him, I found that he was more like analyzing it to see if it was that, opposed to just taking away his experience.
I see.
And that's the thing with Oscar at the Crown. It's one of those things where, like the first opening says, it's a place where you can be free to be who you want to be. I think that goes hand in hand with, you take away what you want to take away from it.
Totally.
You don't need to get the whole storyline.
Totally.
It's not like a Broadway show where you need to understand it from the opening of the curtain to the intermission to the second act to the end.
Yeah.
You don't need to get it. You want to take away what you take away from it, and that's okay.
Yes.
Because you're going to, like with any show, but I think especially with Oscar, you're going to see something completely different from the person next to you.
Woo. Because, I can attest,
because
yes.
It's definitely, it's one of those shows, and, you know, Shira created it with Mark and Andrew to be one of those experiences where if you wanted to just have a night out with your friends, you could have that. If you wanted to see a musical, a pop musical, you could see that. If you came for the acting, you came for that. If you came to see your friend, you came for that. If you just came because you wanted to have a drink and have a good old time and dance, you can do that too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what was beautiful about it, because it was like, when you go to shows, you sit.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you want to groove, you want to dance. And it was like at Oscar, because you were standing the whole time, you got to have that experience of just like dancing. And I think that's what was fun, being a dancer. Because, you know, in the arena for Celtics, it was like your crowd was still in front of you.
Right.
You didn't interact with them.
Right.
You interacted, but it was in a different way, because you still have like people that are sitting right in front of you, all the way to people that are sitting all the way at the top of the arena.
Exactly.
And they still need to see you. But like at Oscar, you know, people could literally be right in your face and you're
like
interacting.
We were.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's how, pretty much how we met.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I still remember.
The silver bomber jacket.
Yes. So it's just like, you remember those encounters with people. And then like, even at the end of the show, like once everything is said and done, being able to engage with people and have them be like, hey, you were the dancer that touched my shoulder and smiled at me. I remember you. You were the one that winked at me.
Yeah.
They might not remember anything else from the show, but if they remember that, like, that's what makes it special.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's the, like, that's the beauty of art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being able to touch somebody in the audience, even if it's just for a moment in time. Even if it wasn't a dance move, but it was a simple, like, engaging with them in the artistic setting.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
y'all, listen. And it's exciting because Oscar at the Crown is coming back for an open-ended run.
Go support them.
$3 bill in Brooklyn.
$3 bill in Brooklyn. They open May 10th.
You know all the info.
Because I'll be there supporting. Because I'm not in it.
Yes, I was going to say Lyric's not in it, y'all. But you're not in it because you're going to be in The Bodyguard.
Yes.
Regional premiere. So how are you? When do you guys start rehearsals for that?
We started.
You already started?
We started on Tuesday.
Oh my God, how do you feel?
I love it.
Yes.
It is so fun. Daniel Gold's choreographing it. I got to meet him through Andrew and Sarah, Sarah Lewandowski. She was in the show with me, Oscar, I should say. So I kind of knew of Daniel, and then I like followed him on Instagram and I saw his choreography, and then I was like, I want to work with him.
Yeah.
I saw that he was choreographing for the show, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna go. At this point, it was probably my 30th audition in audition season.
Ooh. Wow. Wow.
And I went in there and I was like, you know what? It is what it is. Mm-hmm. If I get the job, I get it. If not, it's okay. I kind of, you know, have no expectations.
Yeah. Again, stakes were low. Yeah.
It's not even that, but it's just like, I feel like when you set yourself up for things, it hurts more when you don't get it.
Mm.
So for me, it's more like I walk into things with no expectations because it's like that way I didn't get myself worked up and I can't be angry.
Mm.
And it's just like I learned something because at every audition, it's so beautiful to like learn something, whether it's learning about a new LaDuca, whether it's learning about a new outfit, new makeup, or just even like a new choreographer, new casting, or even the new equity list, like in terms of how they transfer it, being able to transfer the list. You learn something new. So for me, it was more like I'm going to be seen. And I want the choreographer to see me. I want to meet him.
Yeah.
I got to meet him, got to dance for him.
Yeah.
And he was so sweet. He like pulled me aside and he was like, I don't know how, he basically was like, I don't know if you can sing well. but he was like, you have 2 weeks for callbacks to get everything ready.
Wow.
And that was very nice of him because, you know, I had taken voice lessons in Boston. When I was there in Boston, I decided that in 2018, I decided that each year I was going to do one new thing to better myself as a person and artist.
Okay.
So for 2018, it was voice lessons.
Mm.
So I started taking lessons in Boston for 6 months. And then when I moved back to New York, I got a new teacher, Clinton. Clinton's my new teacher, and he started over with me.
Oh, really?
We started over. We started from the top. We started with all my breathing exercises. We kind of rebuilt my book. So I started over. So, you know, I've been taking lessons fully for a year, but taking a break to start over is very different because, you know, voice lessons, it's very interesting learning the exercises and then singing because they're two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take all those exercises and now mash them together to sing.
It's kind of like dancing if you think about it, where you can do your bar exercises for ballet, but it's not like going out and doing a petite allegro or grand allegro across the floor.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Or
but the bar still has to be incorporated in that. Because like your dégagé is what's going to get you into the jeté. So yeah, it's all intertwined. Like the basics truly get you somewhere in everything.
Right.
So Daniel was basically just like, you have 2 weeks to prepare. I went to my voice teacher. I was like,
Clinton, listen.
Yes. I was like, I have Bodyguard callbacks.
Yeah.
This is a show I would really love to get. No expectations. Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
So then I like researched songs. I brought him one and he was like, all right, let's work it. We worked Billie Jean.
Yes, Billie Jean.
We worked Billie Jean. He prepped me. And then I went to my callback audition and callbacks were so fun.
Good.
I got to sing for callbacks. I didn't know how I felt with my singing. I feel like singing's hit or miss sometimes.
That is fair. That's okay.
Yeah. So for me, it was more like, okay, like I got it done.
Yeah.
I was just relieved I got it done because I get a lot of anxiety going into sing.
That's completely fair.
I'm one of those people where I like crystals.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring my rose quartz crystal and I always put it in my character shoe when I go sing because need it to calm me down.
I love that.
Yeah. Because I get like very like, oh my God, like I'm singing. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So I like had it in my shoe and I was like, well, here it is. I sang. Then I danced.
Yes.
And they had us come in and sing again.
Again? You did it once already.
Yeah, to sing Queen of the Night. And I was just talking to Daniel about this because they brought us in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I stood in the back and I was kind of just like,
like ballet class. Yeah.
I was kind of just like humming along because I was like, God, I don't want this to be the end of this journey.
Because
it was such a fun day of just like dancing and then partnering. And then 2 days later, I got an offer.
I love that.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was something I knew I wanted to do, but I still told myself, don't have expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like super beyond thrilled to like get the offer.
And how exciting.
I've been like looking forward to rehearsals. Now we started.
And when do you guys go up? When does production go up?
So April 26th is our first preview.
Mark
and then
calendars.
We are open until May 12th.
Oh my God.
Let's get your tickets.
Yeah, get
They're
your
on
tickets.
Sale now.
White
Come
Plains
see us.
Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, it's the regional premiere. So it's
huge.
Kind of like,
it's exciting.
You know, the first theater doing it before a bunch of other theaters are doing it. So it's kind of like a really big deal.
Yeah. That's so exciting. People, y'all, get your tickets. And then if they want to follow you on social media, where can they do that?
My Instagram handle is LyricDanae.
Yes, the photos are stunning, y'all. I was stalking her, you know, before I offered for her to come on the podcast. The feed is incredible. The last two questions that I like to wrap up the podcast with are as follows. So one, if you could recommend a piece of Black art, whether that is Alvin Ailey's Revelations or if it's a book or a film or a music album, what would you recommend?
Black art. Wow. Well, I call it art. I'm a huge listener of Oprah's Super Soul podcast.
Okay, yes.
Yes. I think she is a beautiful artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because she speaks her truth. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's very present as a human being and she knows what she brings to the table, but she's also very humble to share her journey. You know, I was just listening to her today and I was listening to the one where she quotes the Maya Angelou quote about I'm a phenomenal woman. And I would say her within herself, her books, but I would say that her podcast.
Yeah.
That's an inspirational piece of art for me.
Okay. I like that.
Because, you know, as an African American, it's important to have people that you look up to, but it's important to have people that you look up to that have your same beliefs too, or similar beliefs. Because I feel like sometimes when you look up to people, you get caught up in the image as opposed to who they actually are as a person. And Oprah and who she is as a person resonates with me because she is very present. She is very mindful. And I feel like a lot of her preachings or what she speaks about comes from a very compassionate and enlightened point of view, which is like huge for me.
So, we could all do with more Oprah in our life, you know? I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Then if you could give a shout out to a fellow Black artist, who would it be?
Wow.
I know.
Fellow Black artist.
People hate this question when I ask it because they're like, I want to do a top five. I want to do a top 20, a top 100. So if you want to do like a top five.
I would want to give a shout out to all artists of color that are currently auditioning for things. You know, I say auditioning for things because I feel like as an artist of color, it's tough to go into an audition room for certain shows because sometimes you get the self-doubt of maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe there's not a part for me. Or maybe I'm the only one in the room. Maybe this is my cue to go. So I feel like that's a huge thing. And aside from that, I think, you know, circumstances are just different because you know, you just sometimes certain roles call for certain characters and you don't want to feel like you are limited, but sometimes you are limited. And so keep your heads up, keep auditioning and keep doing you. You know, there's shows out there for all of us. We just have to wait our turn patiently and keep on our path.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
We're always, we're here to uplift artists of color. I like that.
Yeah.
This has been amazing. I've had so much fun talking to you. From $3 bill of Brooklyn to here. We did it.
Amen.
But I mean, it's so exciting to see how, especially for artists, like you may feel stuck in one path, but like you are such a great example that you can explore every type of path. Even if you're not a singer, you can be in a musical, you can learn to sing, you get those exercises, you get your book, and that is all worth it and it is all possible.
100%.
So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Until next time, y'all.